are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You can't look at this horror and defend it. Joe Biden found the time to go to Saudi Arabia, but not to the southern border, to the worst illegal immigration in 62 years. The Joe Biden body bags keep getting worse and worse and worse. And Sean, the only good thing of all of this horror is it's opening people's eyes. I think November is going to be a red tidal wave. I think South Texas is going to turn red. And if and when Republicans retake Congress, I believe one of the very first priorities is that we should impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. I think the House will do that. And the Senate needs to conduct a trial. We need to put on a trial and put on the evidence of the people that are suffering and dying as a result of Joe Biden's dereliction of duty.
Amen, amen, amen. That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com right now and enter in the search engine Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to our page, and then you can simply push for the live section. You'll join us in studio. If you're listening on air, don't forget if you miss any program you want to share with others, I do encourage you to share. You can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. When we wrap today's program, it'll be posted later. And also remember, you can subscribe. We'll send it to you for free. We charge you nothing for it. I just want you to have it so you can get it out there and share. So there is Senator Ted Cruz after a recent visit to the border. And still the Biden White House will not admit there's even a crisis. And the leftists are so concerned about the welfare of children in the past, remember? Not so much concerned about these children this time. They're just absolutely silent. And the state-controlled media ignoring the human tragedy. Seldom even picturing the hordes crossing the Rio Grande, often at risk of death. If you're not concerned about those children, you have no soul. And I say that specifically to Democrats who just don't want to deal with it because it looks bad politically. I thought you were concerned about the children. Oh, I get it. You're concerned about the politics you can reap off of the children. An Iranian leader is claiming that Iran can make a nuclear weapon any day now, any day. Fred Flights, American First Policy Institute, an expert on Iran. We'll have the latest originally reported by Al Jazeera Network. Biden, of course, went to Saudi Arabia, made numerous mistakes, comes home empty-handed. He basically walked into a trap set by Saudi Arabia, and he got played. And Americans will suffer. They will suffer. Even CNN admits he came home empty-handed. We'll break that story down for you. You're going to hear from a grandfather who feels absolutely hopeless as his grandchild decides to go transgender. Imagine if this were happening in your family, and there's nothing you can do about it. Plus, where is state-controlled media, the gun control advocates? A gunman with several magazines and a rifle went into an Indianapolis shopping center. He opened fire, killing at least three, injuring others. But then the gunman was shot dead by what police are calling a Good Samaritan, someone who was inside a 22-year-old carrying a concealed weapon, lawfully carrying. However, here's where the left is coming out. Oh, my God, you can't call him a Good Samaritan. That's not what the Good Samaritan did in the Bible. It's just suddenly they know what the Bible is. Secondly, he violated the shopping mall rules. He wasn't supposed to take a gun in. The gunman didn't give a damn who's going to go in and kill everybody. Most shopping centers have signs posted. No guns allowed. Illegal to enter with guns. That is an open invitation, and I've told you that repeatedly. That is an open invitation to anyone who wants to go in with a rifle, thinking that I can shoot out several people and no one's going to stop me. Willie found out that doesn't work. And again, the state-controlled media, gun control advocates, are just trying to ignore it, and let's move past this. Now, if the sniper got away with killing a lot of them, they'd be all over the front page today, wouldn't they? Hunter Biden and Papa Joe tied together in ways that now we're learning even more from the New York Post what's on that computer. Meanwhile, NPR, which disavowed the computer even existed, now saying it's going to create a disinformation reporting team. It deals in disinformation. And we're going to share two emails. One will take you back in history. You'll be nodding your head in agreement. And get this, Dr. Fake is resigning. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well. With Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
No, I don't think so. You have a leak. No, I don't think so. You have a leader of that country who was involved in the murder of a Washington Post journalist. I don't think that that type of government should be rewarded with a visit by the President of the United States. Look, you got a family that is worth $100 billion, which crushes democracy, which treats women as third-class citizens, which murders and imprisons its opponents. And if this country believes in anything, we believe in human rights, we believe in democracy. And I just don't believe that we should be maintaining a warm relationship with a dictatorship like that.
So there you have the words of Bernie Sanders. Independent Vermont. Those of you watching on Rumble.com wondering, what's Larry waving and everything about? Well, because I'm just listening to Bernie Sanders go on and on and on. No, I don't think Biden should have gone there and so forth and so on. We'll get to that in more detail in just a moment. But as we mentioned the other day, Saudi Arabia and the entire Middle East, we've got a lot of hot spots over there. The only real friend that we should have in that part of the world would be Israel. You get in the Middle East, you get a quagmire. You get into the Saudi Arabia and the other Emirate states, Kuwait, so forth. We know what exists there. Iran, Iraq, we know all of that. Sometimes it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And yes, we have supported and propped up regimes, which later we regretted. And then later we take part in taking them down. We're supposedly getting past nation building through this nation in the future. Supposedly we're getting past it. But you do have to deal with them. But the issue here that you're hearing Bernie Sanders make, you're going over there and dealing with this guy, and he's responsible for so many bad things. Let me read you something someone put out on Twitter. This is a Darling B, I believe it is, replying to a GOP chairwoman, and she's almost, you could say that she is actually trying to dispute Bernie Sanders as well, because she said, "Can we please acknowledge our president? The man is in his late 70s. He's given up a quiet, easy life. He's earned to give America astonishing good number, job numbers, all while recovering 90% of jobs lost early in the pandemic, getting the unemployment rate down to 3.6%, standing up to Putin, restoring some GD decorum and decency to our institutions." James Carafano, Heritage Foundation, remarked on his Twitter, "Is this some kind of joke?" I replied to Carafano, "You're so skeptical, James. Can't you appreciate this?" But Bernie Sanders, like others have said, we shouldn't even be talking to Saudi Arabia. You have to talk to your enemy sometimes, and then you have to decide who is the worst enemy, and you want to keep your closest enemies close to you, right? Your best enemy, your worst enemies, keep them closest to you. But Fox News poll, in the midst of all this, came out, and by the way, this was pretty much a trap that was set to get Joe Biden to come over. Remember, Biden had been calling them pariahs because of the death of the journalist Khashoggi. So when he's making this trip to Israel, then he decides, let's incorporate Saudi Arabia. Why? Because he really was going to go to beg for oil. I believe Andrew in Chicago, my boots on the ground, sent me a picture someone had posted on showing Biden standing next to the crown prince and has an oil, rather has a gasoline can in his hand as he's standing there. It's a funny picture, but it's also accurate. Even CNN acknowledged, and I'm reading direct from a CNN headline story they just put up, it was always going to be awkward. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's greeting with U.S. President Joe Biden. They said then more speculation about that. It was like they say at the press podium, Biden confronted the Crown Prince for his role in the killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. I don't know that he actually confronted him. I think he mentioned it. They say in some private meetings he got really tough with him. I don't buy that one bit. Because the Crown Prince sources say that didn't happen. I'm going to agree and tend to accept the word of the sources of the Crown Prince. I hate to admit it, but in this case I am. But the Crown Prince did fire back at our U.S. human rights record over alleged abuses at the Abu Ghraib jail during the Iraqi war. Remember that? When they had leashes around their neck, naked, and forced to bark at like dogs and so forth. But that image of the fist bump, when Joe Biden got questioned about that, he said, "Why don't you guys ask me something important? I'll answer important questions." No, you won't. You won't answer any important question. You won't deal with anything important. He supposedly wasn't going to be shaking hands with anybody, but as soon as he arrived in Israel, he shook hands with former Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. Apparently, at one point, he also then did shake hands, which is what the Saudis wanted, shaking hands with Mohammed, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. That was what they wanted. That's why they invited him there. Come on over. Let's talk about this. Biden leaves hinting success. I'm reading again from the CNN article. Biden signaled success, hinting more oil will flow from the region to counter the reduced flow from Russia in the wake of Western sanctions. And then this line. This line stands out. This should be the lead of the CNN article, but that's not the way they play the game. It reads, "But the president came home without a public promise of increased oil production." That's your storyline right there. And the polls are not looking good for Biden on any level. Fox News out with a new poll.
A new Fox News poll shows that only 40% of voters say they approve of the job that he's doing. They disapprove of his handling on just about everything. Inflation, most of all. The same poll finds that 84% of Americans say the Biden economy is in fair or poor condition, compared to 17% who think it's excellent or good. That is the lowest number in nearly a decade. 52% believe it's only going to get worse next year.
Now, again, that is a Fox News poll. I always give you the source, not trying to hide it from you. So you can say, well, I would expect that from a Fox News poll. Well, a Democrat pollster, Chris Anderson, who conducted this, a Democrat pollster works with a Republican pollster in conducting it. They're trying to do the best JLB they can to be fair and impartial, supposedly. His statements are, this is a very tight spot for Biden. If he moves to stabilize our ratings on the left, it could easily lead to more erosion in the middle, hurt his reelection processes. But if he doesn't address the problems on the left, his ratings could really crater. So again, the opinion poll of Joe Biden, conducted June 10th through the 13th, just released by Fox News. He has new levels of disappointment among the core voters. 60% of the voters under the age 30, 60% under the age of 30. They were a big support group for Bernie Sanders. 60% of these are not happy with him. 60% of them under the age 30. 55% of Hispanics not happy. 53% of women. And 18% of all Democrats are negative when it comes to Joe Biden. Now, when you put Biden and Trump up against each other, 9 in 10 Democrats have a negative view of Trump. We could expect that. And Republicans are similar towards Biden. And all the polls we've seen previously say that if they were to have the election today, Biden would beat Trump by 4 points. But it's not being held today. We don't even know if either one of them is running. Now, back to why we went to Saudi Arabia. We live in a great country. God bless this land with riches. Oil, gas reserves deep in the core of our land. And we've been using them ever since we first discovered them. The first spindle top oil blowing through a gusher in Texas. Those decades ago. But now this administration said, no, we're not going to use any of this. We'd rather go elsewhere. And, of course, the prices have gone up. Biden had said previously, it ain't my fault, it's Putin's fault. And Bernie Sanders weighs in on who's to blame. And knowing how anti-capitalist Bernie Sanders is with his millions of dollars already made, here's his thought.
Truth of the matter is, if you're looking at the outrageously high cost of gas at the pumps right now, one of the things we've got to look at is the fact that while Americans are now paying $4.50, $4.80 for a gallon of gas, the oil company profits in the last quarter have been extraordinarily high. And I happen to believe that we've got to tell the oil companies to stop ripping off the American people. And if they don't, we should impose a windfall profits tax on them.
Sure, tax them again. And whenever a company is taxed, what do you think happens? They pass that along to the consumers. Bernie, do you not understand that? You think they're gouging? They're not gouging. They're trying to survive, and they're not going to put any more money into investment right now because if they do, they don't know if they'll be shut down. They've already made it clear. This administration, we want to be done with oil and gas and fossil fuels and all wind, all sun, solar rays. Oh, pay no attention to those solar panels that after 25 years had to be discarded. We don't know what we're going to do with them. Pay no attention to nuclear energy because it's not that big of a deal. And when the wind doesn't blow, well, it just sucks, doesn't it? Maybe if you suck and blow, you can get a windmill to move. But, of course, the whole principle of the gas prices and the green energy thing is we got to stop climate pollution. And yet we are not going to do oil and gas drilled here. We are going to go to other countries, such as Venezuela. Let me give you some numbers here. Venezuela is one of those that we go to, and they have some of the dirtiest oil and gas production in the world. But we're putting them in charge of getting us more oil and gas. The dirtiest oil, well, that is the sands on the dirtiest sources on Earth, primarily mined in Alberta, Canada, because they're using tar sands, and there's some in the West, but they're doing a better job at making them cleaner. And the other thing to keep in mind, while they're trying to tell you that everybody go to electric car, I know you can't afford it, but if you either do that or you get a bicycle or go back to horse days, or you just walk. Gasoline oil production, I've told you before, out of a barrel of oil, you actually have 42 to 47 gallons max. And out of that, about 20% max goes for fuel for cars. Diesel, another 6 to 7%. And then you got asphalt. You got other things made for oil, out of oil. Bottom of the barrel petrochemical products ranging from makeup to medicine. And then for all of those high-flying, John Kerry, green pie in the sky, everybody should suffer. John, how are you going to make your trips? Because you know 6% of each barrel of oil goes to aviation fuel. You want to shut all that down? You won't have a jet to fly, John Kerry. We're going to take a kite over to England next time, or a balloon? Can't bring back the Hindenburg. You'd need helium gas. That's another gas you'd have to get. These people are so short-sighted and trying to profit and make money off of you and the companies they're involved right now, and they don't give a damn on how much you suffer. Coming up, who could possibly run against Biden? Harris? Stand by.
And I am bone, rise up, ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It really shows that she's not ready for the national prime time. She basically skirted through the attorney general when she was a state attorney general as a senator, and now she's on a national platform. And she just doesn't have the skill set to articulate these programs. And that's what's happening. She's being exposed. And if she has any notion of being a candidate in 2024, forget it. The American public rejects her approach.
But see, this is the thing I don't understand is how did this not come to light before now?
Media? The left-wing media, they protected her.
The whole time she was in...
Oh, I lived in California. They protected her. She was the golden girl. She couldn't do anything wrong, and it's being exposed on a national level.
He's absolutely right. That's the voice of Leo Terrell. He's a civil rights advocate, attorney, but he's also a Fox News contributor, a black man. He's talking about Kamala Harris, the VP, who was, of course, in California. And she had to pull out of the race early, remember? She was polling so badly, she had left the race. But when Biden said, and he's getting the nomination, I will select, because I've been told to, a black woman, he turned to Kamala, the very one who basically called him racist during the debates. All's forgiven. Politics makes for strange bedfellows. And in her case, well, I'll just leave it there. But you know who did show up at the White House the other day while Biden was over in Saudi Arabia, fist bumping and then eventually shaking hands with the crown prince, begging for oil, by the way, and coming back empty-handed? Governor Newsom. California Governor Newsom strolled into the White House with his jacket all kind of slung over his shoulder like, I live here. I belong here. If he thinks he's going to be the next president, if the Democrats want to put him up, and you don't want to look at all the ills and problems inside California and the taxes there, are you that stupid, really? I don't think you are. Well, I'm going to give some of you the doubt. Some of you might be. I don't care about your politics. I care about your intellect. But if you're going to elect somebody like that, when you see how he's treated his own state, you want that for the, and people are fleeing his state, going to red states. Does that not tell you something? Anyway, here's something else that happened. He was doing an interview with an LA TV, and an ad from DeSantis came about in Florida about a reelection campaign, and it suggested that perhaps Gavin Newsom might be running. And he's asking, the anchor was asking Newsom, what do you think about that ad? And he said, well, that was an ad from a frustrated father for a son whose mom worked to raise money for aid to adoption of special kids, someone who works to get people with intellectual disability and positions of influence in state government, who was disgusted by the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, for threatening the Special Olympics, threatening with tens of millions of dollars of fines. Yeah, that whole thing there was, it's so far off, I don't have time to spend on it. But the bottom line is, he's saying, it just proves that DeSantis is a bully. And so Newsom is saying, stop being a bully. Stop belittling people that look different, love differently. Who the hell are you? Stop threatening people. Could we use those statements from DeSantis against everyone who calls someone else that they think is inferior to them, either racist, homosexual, transphobic, far right, alt-right, radical? I mean, can we use it the same way? Again, I remind you, the whole purpose of this program, the main mission, is to find the things that can bring us together. We have too many name-calling going on already. We can't just put a stop to it overnight, but if we don't begin to take steps to it, it will never happen. And yes, I did call some people stupid a moment ago, but I'm talking about their intellect. Not calling them racist names, but, of course, to the left, everything that you don't buy is racist. Such as, you're transphobic if you don't favor your granddaughter being transsexual. That story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My name is Chloe Cole, and I am a 17-year-old detransitioner from the Central Valley. I was medically transitioned from ages 13 to 16. My parents took me to a therapist who affirmed my male identity, and the therapist did not care about causality or encourage me to learn to be comfortable in my body. He brushed off my parents' concerns about the efficacy of hormones, puberty blockers, and surgeries. My parents were given the threat of suicide as a reason to move me forward in my transition. My endocrinologist, after 2 to 3 appointments, put me on puberty blockers and injectable testosterone. At age 15, I asked to remove my breasts.
She asked to remove her breasts at age 15. Her name is Chloe Cole. I told you about her last week. She was testifying in California against a Senate bill which was going to allow kids from other states to travel into California if their state and their parents would not go along with them getting puberty blockers, If they could get to California, the state of California would be a sanctuary state and help them out. But elsewhere across the nation, it's still going on at different levels. That same day that I aired that, I met a couple of guys for a meeting we had planned. And in the process, one of them made a mention about transsexual in his family, someone who's already transitioned, I believe, fully. Another one saying that my grandchild is getting ready and wants to do that. Let's introduce Dan as we'll identify him, a grandfather. Dan, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Larry. Appreciate it.
So let's begin with, give me a quick synopsis of your grandchild, boy, girl, and then what their intent is.
Okay, she's, I call her she's 15, and always seemed to be normal. I guess you could say a bit melancholy, and she went away to camp. And met someone at camp who suggested that she might be, a candidate for having her, being transgendered. And she got affirmation at school. She's now picked out a male name to work with, and she's using that at school. And she's got the same thing that you just had. Everybody needs to go along with it, or otherwise, potentially, she could harm herself. So,
Dan, we're picking up some extra noise on your phone. I don't know what you're doing, but just be steady with it and keep the phone where it is, because it's good quality if you aren't moving around. Now, you said that she's already said that if you don't go along with it, I'll commit suicide. Is that what she's threatening, or the doctors are saying? Go ahead.
That's what the counselors, the school immediately wanted her in counseling. So
that's a common thing, That's a common thing. They will threaten you. Do you want your child alive or dead? If you want your child alive, go along with it. And her parents are buying the story. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that's it. And everybody needs to go along to make sure she's okay. Everybody has to go along with it.
Well, you want her alive, her or him. You said it's really a girl, right? She wants to become a boy. Did I understand you correctly?
Correct, yes.
All right. Now, she went away to camp and came back with this idea. We have seen numerous cases where when you get clusters of teenagers together, they start trending in a certain way. They may trend to be homosexual, lesbian. They may trend to be transphobic. They may trend to be just natural kids. I mean, it's just kind of a thing, but it's not uncommon what you're describing. There's a church school, I take it back, not a church school, but another summer camp that I'd heard that something like 20% of the kids came back and they all were talking about, maybe I'm in the wrong sex. So you're talking to the parents about this. They're reluctantly going to go along? Are they listening to any of your input or what?
No.
Are you trying to intervene? Let me ask that.
Yes. Yeah, I made those suggestions, and I did some studies on it from a couple books that give a different point of view.
Yeah.
Than going along with it, but I was told that I don't know what I'm talking about, and don't you understand how serious this is?
And who's telling you that you don't understand how serious it is?
Would be the her parents,
which are repeating and parroting what they've been told, I assume, by the doctors. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, have they always been on board for the transition, or only after they met with the doctors and were told that she might commit suicide?
Yes, only after the meeting with the school counselor and then the outside counselors.
Did anybody offer to bring in someone with an opposing view? Because of books, I know one book you and I talked about, it definitely talks about the dangers of this and points out that there's a falsehood about the kids might commit suicide. The very woman we began with, the 17-year-old, admitted in her testimony, at that age, I was not comfortable in my body. I didn't know what to do. Young women who start menstruating, they're uncomfortable in their body. Young boys are uncomfortable in their body from time to time. Does that mean we suddenly all need a sex change and then years later regret it and you can't really go back?
Well, Well, that's the danger in the studies that I found. If you get to the point where you take the hormone injections, according to that information, the hormones make their change in your body fairly quickly.
Yeah.
And that's muscular, bone, as well as the features that we think about, like hair and stuff like that. So in, even if you stop taking them, the changes that they wrought on your body are now permanent. Just like if a man, you know, gets older and he's no longer producing his hormones, he's still a man.
I want to reaffirm, how old did you say she is now? He
15.
Is? 15. So what is the school? She'll be going back to school this fall. Was some of this taking place last year during school, or it'll be new?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And what was the school doing?
Oh, they're just, you know, going along with it. They're using her male name and, you know, treating her that way.
And advising other students to do the same, right? Basically telling them you have to, right? Does she have a sibling?
Sibling? She has siblings, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
And what do they do?
Everybody goes along with it, yeah. And that's, I think, what's so dangerous. I mean, let's say she does change her mind at some point, but now you've got all these people that went along with it, including your family. How do you change your mind and say no? Very tough.
Well, the Chloe Cole that was testifying in front of California, which we began before we came to you for the interview, it said now that she wants her life back the way she was. She said, at that age I made that decision, which was about the same age as you're describing your grandchild, I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't understand the long-term repercussions. And now I want to go back. Well, I don't know if I can even have a baby now. She went from a woman to a boy, and now she says doctors aren't sure because of all the drugs and everything if I can ever have a baby. And I know because I had my breast removed, I can't breastfeed. In other words, now she recognizes at 17, 18 that, and this is 2-3 years older than your grandchild, I made a big mistake in my life. And that, to me, might push someone to suicide as well.
Well, we certainly hope not, but I suppose you're correct. Yes, sir.
How do you tell, what about other friends and other family that are all around? I mean, I met somebody in a family, and they have a child doing this as well, too. And it was pretty apparent this is what the child is doing. In fact, mom was very excited. They were going to go to California and get some additional puberty blockers the following week or so after I saw them. And it's supporting the child, but at the same time, a parent is supposed to be a parent, not a friend, not doing everything the child wants. Stand up as a parent, say, this is wrong, not going to do it now. Even like a tattoo, you're not going to have one now, but when you get a certain age, you can make your own decision. Maybe by age 18, they won't do that. Maybe they will, but at that time, it's different.
Well, I mean, you're right, but that's the terrible thing, you know, when humans were created, we got free will, and that's the pesky thing that gets in the way.
You're right about that. And very quickly, what's your relationship with your grandchild now?
Well, I'm okay with everybody in the family and the siblings, but, you know, pretty much she won't communicate with me. Mm-hmm. I made the mistake of accidentally calling her by her original name rather than her new name, and that caused a big set off. So.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about also that break between you. I'll be praying for that and for her as well. I want to thank you for taking time for sharing your story, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes,
bye-bye.
That's a tragic story, yet repeated over and over. Coming up, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the New York Times, I'm sorry, correction. Let me correct that right now. The New York Post, because the New York Times wouldn't do this, not for another year later, just like they ignored the Hunter Biden laptop even existed, the laptop from hell, the New York Times denied it, wouldn't even report on it. When the New York Post first broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. Well, now the New York Post is reporting a closer look at the examination of Hunter Biden's personal calendar from that very laptop. Stand by. We don't know how big this is going to get. But I'll tell you this. It's going to get enormous. But, of course, it's going to come for a long time later. And by then, Papa Joe just will be able to say, I don't recall. And they'll be right. You won't be lying about it, pretty much. But meetings revealing the calendar that Hunter Biden met with Joe Biden 30 times. He's the White House of the Vice President's residence at the Naval Observatory from 2000 to 2016. Well, it's a son and father. No big deal, Larry, except that the meetings would take place days, even within an hour, after Hunter Biden would return home from a foreign business trip or a meeting with a client in D.C. Well, Larry, they just wanted to be together and see each other again. Yeah, okay. Well, the Post also reports that Hunter Biden's business partner was named as an invite receipt on 21 of the 30 meetings of the then vice president. Well, they're all friends, Larry. They just wanted to get together. Okay, all right. It shows between Feb 15 and 18, 2012, Hunter Biden wined and dined by billionaire oligarchs in Moscow, one of them now wanted for murder. 4 days after he got back from being wined and dined, he met with the VP again. Daddy, Papa Joe. In Feb 2012, the personal calendar revealed Hunter Biden asking the leader of Bogota to meet up with him while he was visiting in D.C. I said Bogota, Colombia specifically. A month later, the former Colombian president did apparently meet with Joe Biden. GOP officials have said Hunter Biden is a national security threat, and therefore his father should be considered a national security threat because he could be blackmailed or targeted. I'll tell you this, with those kind of credentials, you would not be able to get into any position of top secret clearance, period. And yet Joe Biden has the highest clearance of all. All right, you ready for a good laugh? I mean, this is pretty good. National Public Radio is launching a disinformation reporting team. Molly Hemingway, the Federalist, said, you've always been doing disinformation. What's new this time? She's right. And the disinformation managing editor said, we don't waste our time on stories that are not really stories. We don't waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just distractions, such as NPR ignored for months the laptop from hell, denied it existed. Said, we're not going to report on it. We're not going to talk about it because it's just made up. It's not real. We're not going to bother. They didn't even bother looking and investigating. They turned it down because Joe Biden was running for the White House, and it was going to damage Joe Biden's chance to defeat Trump. So NPR just turned its back on it. Now, I bring this up again, not just because of they want you to believe they're going to have a disinformation team that would do a better job. My arts. But they get government money. You do know that. NPR carried on about 1,000 stations. Now, they now say, well, we don't get that much money from them, not directly. Well, that's been a change because it was founded in 1970. And NPR is a private company, just like Larry Connors USA is a private company. But until 1983, it received half of its funding from the federal government through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They did get half of their money from founding 1970 to 1983. Give me 13 years, half of my money from the feds. You pay for it. Will you do that for me? NPR nearly went bankrupt, so then they decided to redo things. Now they get less than 1% of their budget directly from the federal government. But 10% of the budget from federal, state, and local governments indirectly. But only about 1% directly from the federal government. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. The CEO makes something like $600,000 a year. That CEO needs to talk to those at NPR, National Public Broadcast. I mean, that's PBS. I meant PBS. The PBS 350 stations, also under the corporate broadcasting, public broadcasting umbrella, gets 15% of federal dollars to fund its operations. And the CEO of PBS gets about $1 million a year. Public broadcasting system, where they're doing things like Downton Abbey or they're doing Sesame Street, would be good, except when they start pushing racial agendas, pride agendas, things of this nature, yank every federal dollar from their hands immediately. Stand by for hour two.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.